campaigners, in particular for the Welsh language. They were steeped in their Welsh culture.
I'm originally from Anglesey, so I've known Llyn ap Iorwerth since I was a child.
Taleri Glyn-Jones presents the main BBC Wales news programme.
Like all rural places, lots of people have connections going back many generations. But I think in Llyn's particular case, they're the type of people who you would always see at kind of Welsh events. They're very involved in their communities.
There was a very close upbringing with values that my parents had got from their parents.
And further back through the generations, Rhian's father again.
My grandmother was a political animal. She lived until she was 97. She was there when she was bedridden and so on. She would talk about politics then. So it was there, somewhere in the blood on my father's side.
So, not surprising that Welsh politics rubbed off on his son at a very young age.
I used to go down to work as a volunteer in the local political office because this was 1974, so he would have been only two and a half. Then when we went home, we wondered, well, what shall we do this evening? And the unexpected thing then was, I'd like to play the Plaid Cymru political office, you know, answering the phone and filling bits and envelopes and what have you.
And as well as Welsh politics and values, music too. I have to now talk about your singing, of course, singing at home. They grew up, didn't they, with your singing?
My laddie me, ac mae'n laddie titai.
In Welsh, of course. Rhian's dad was pretty good. Still is.
He started singing in the early 60s, and David Iwan, who's a well-known protest singer in Wales, and he used to sing together around Wales or separately. And when Mum and Dad got married, there was a headline in the paper, Welsh pop star gets married. And Rhian and I were on one of the albums. A lot of fun in the recording studio, and I think he got his performing side from Dad for sure.
Perhaps inevitable then that Rhian took up the guitar and played in a band. What was it called?
It was called 69 Chwedeg Naw.
No, don't worry, not a sexual innuendo, but a political statement, because that was the year Prince Charles became the Prince of Wales. Sadly, we haven't been able to find any recordings of them playing.
I don't think I'd call it pop. It was more sort of a rock, sort of grungy type style, I think. A bit moody.
Away from the grunge and all that, it was at school where he discovered he had another big passion. Skiing.
Our school, Ysgol David Hughes, arranged ski trips from late 70s, early 80s. We love skiing.
He still goes skiing every year. Taleri Glyn-Jones bumped into him in Austria.
We did cross paths with a kind of big gang of Anglesey farmers that go skiing once a year. About 40 agriculturally adjacent people would end up kind of terrorising the slopes of wherever we were at the time.
And is he a good skier, more importantly? Could he get down the slope?
Yeah, he's an excellent skier. They go with the family every year, I think, so he's a very good skier, although he did have an awful accident once. I think he broke his collarbone on one trip.
And there's one thing he never forgets to pack.
I think he's the only person I know who'll take his guitar skiing with him.
In 1990, Rhian left the island and headed south to Cardiff University, studying Welsh and politics. He was a regular at political rallies campaigning for the Welsh language and into his music as well. But he also had other things on his mind. A new girlfriend.
And I remember going to a massive Welsh gig in West Wales, and there was a busload, if not two or three busloads, of students from Cardiff went, and, oh, who's this young lady? And she seemed lovely, and, oh, she's from Anglesey.
Llynas and Rhian were married in 1989 on Anglesey, and now have three children.
This is BBC Radio Wales.
Let's talk money. Some interest rate decisions due today, both here and in the Eurozone. But before that, Barclays has released its latest trading figure.
In 1994, Rean started his 20-year career in journalism at BBC Wales. He worked his way up the corporation's greasy pole before becoming a presenter. Then, in 2001...
I was at home revising for my final exams.
This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center.
And I put the news on the TV.
That a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
My brother and his family, who were on holiday just in upstate New York, were traveling down to New York that day.
I remember at 6 o'clock in the morning hearing that something awful had happened in New York, and my worry was, and it was, it happened because he was on his way to go up the Trade Center.
There was nothing I could do to check they were okay, there was no signal.
At last they heard. Rean and his family were safe.
Immediately he thought, well, I'm here. Something awful has happened. So he phoned his production team, and they immediately found the cameraman for him, and he was one of the first to report back to the UK.
Mi ddeffrys i'r bore yma mewn gwesti clywed dau wŵr yn siarad yn y maes barcio tu allan.
So he reported in both languages from ground zero, as near as they would be, and it changed his life a lot, 2001.
Rean was a household name in Wales when a young Tulare started her career in journalism.
I do remember before going to studio, he would walk around the back way so he could go and have a cigarette. And at the time, I was very young, but I thought I was very cool and would smoke as well. He'd be like, right, come with me, let's go for a walk. And then he'd kind of give me a little pep talk, what had been good throughout the day, you know, what he thought about the lead was, and kind of a real, you know, steep me in the way that journalists thinks about stories, which I found absolutely invaluable.
His name established, Rean would probably have stayed in journalism. But then, a life-changing moment. In 2012, after a very short illness, his mother, Gwyneth, died. Arwen again.
It was 5 weeks from diagnosis to passing away, really, and it came a bit like a bombshell, and it was such a shock. The number of people in that funeral and the number of letters and poems we had for her, just saying, your mother did this, she left this behind, you should be proud of it.
Her death had a profound effect on Rean.
He had been discussing, what shall I do? I want to serve in the same way as she was serving.
Then an opportunity came up, a vacant seat in Anglesey for the Welsh Assembly.
It was a huge gamble, of course, because if you're a political journalist and then you decide to throw your hat in to become a candidate for a certain party, then you've done as a political journalist.
And the news spread fast around BBC Wales. Tulare again.
The shockwaves that it sent through the newsroom was absolutely unbelievable. Like, you know, it was really shocking.
The gamble paid off. He won.
In a way, he's fulfilling Mum's work by doing it now, and he wouldn't be here without her.
It was a report into a toxic culture inside Plaid Cymru in 2023, which would create another opening for the would-be First Minister. The then leader, Adam Price, stood down, and into his shoes stepped Rean. He implemented all the report's recommendations, and the rest is history. In April 2026, Rean ap Iorwerth led his party to the greatest victory it has had in its history. Tulare Glyn Jones again.
Undoubtedly, he's been strategically and politically very astute. But he's also been really, really lucky, I think. His arrival at the kind of helm of Plaid Cymru happened at the same time as, you know, after 27 years of Welsh Labour, they became increasingly unpopular.
So, in the right place, at the right time.
As someone put it to me the other day and said, he's played a good hand well, but he also had a few aces.
Now the work begins. Ruth Masalski, Wales Online political editor.
They know that a lot of people in Wales lent their votes. You know, they're traditional left-wing voters who may have voted for Greens or Labour or the Lib Dems, who backed Plaid, and now they know they've really got to deliver for them.
Lisa Baxter, his friend and former Plaid candidate, says he has what it takes to make it work.
He is made of steel. He's so fixed in. All the negative comments that he's had throughout the campaign hasn't touched him.
But if it all goes pear-shaped, as it so often does in this turbulent political world, he does have something to fall back on.
I would say that music really is his passion, is his first love.
Profile was presented by Becky Milligan and produced by Annabel Dees. This Cultural Life is next this evening, featuring the American author George Saunders, just after a preview of next week's Lunchtime series.
Henry Ford is often credited with creating the modern work week.
A century after the working week was popularized, I'll explore its impact across five consecutive days, from the Monday blues to that Friday feeling.
Absolutely love walking out of here, knowing that I've got a long weekend before I return.
And I'll be examining what the future holds.
We have AI replacing jobs faster than ever before. The requirement on human commitment has never been greater.
TikTok. The working week in 5 days with me, Phil Tinline, this Monday to Friday lunch break at 1:45 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Josephine McDermott will be exploring international radio as a tool of soft power in our archive on 4 at 8 o'clock. Before that, on Radio 4, it's over to John Wilson.
Welcome to This Cultural Life, the series in which the world's leading artistic figures choose the influences and experiences that most inspired their own creativity. I'm John Wilson, and my guest in this episode is the Booker Prize-winning American author George Saunders. He made his name as a writer of satirical or absurdist short stories, which often explore contemporary consumerist society, always underpinned with a strong sense of compassion and empathy. In 2017, his first full-length novel, Lincoln in the Bardo, about presidential grief amid a cacophony of spiritual voices, won the Booker Prize and became a global bestseller. His latest novel, Vigil, once again explores death and the afterlife. George Saunders teaches creative writing at...